Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. Hope everybody had a great 4th of July. Hope everybody was able to catch us yesterday with the Hoosier Report. We had a July 4th edition, so if you missed it, podcast available. Nice chat yesterday with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Also, we had on Jeffersonville senior-to-be Trey Coleman to talk about his exploding recruiting, a lot of scholarship offers that he's picked up over the last few days as well. So if you missed that, it's available as a podcast on Apple Podcasts and on the SoundCloud platform as well. But that was there for you yesterday and back today with you. Glad to have you. And again, hope you had a great holiday yesterday. Some of you probably are able to extend that into a holiday weekend. We hope that you're able to. The weather, knock on wood, has been really good so far. Let's hope that continues through the weekend. And a reminder that tonight, Lee Kelly, Tom Wendt, and I will be at the Little League Park, the Jeff GRC Little League Park. It's a big night. Semifinals across the park tonight for most of the divisions, baseball and softball, I'm told, in District 5 tonight, semifinals. And we'll have the main division of baseball, 12-year-old Little League division. That's the main, the division that goes on eventually to the Little League World Series. That's the way that I always describe it. We'll have both of those semifinal games on live tonight, and we'll also have some updates from some of the other games as well as we get the brackets finalized tonight for championship games on Monday. And, of course, we'll be back on Monday to broadcast a number of the championship games as well. So if you can't make it out tonight and you're a former Little Leaguer or want to see how your community Little League does, tune us in a little before 5:30. We'll have both of the semifinals from Jeff GRC in the District 5 tournament on live tonight. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. In segment one, we'll do our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Some good news to pass along as far as Yogi Ferrell goes. He's got an NBA contract guaranteed for next season. We'll talk about that. Also, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall had a really good story. It's a summary of the IU players in the NBA for next season, at least at this point, and how much they're making and some other contract details as well. So we'll go through that, summarize that for you as well. Also, Romeo Langford had another round with the media yesterday. We'll talk about some of the stories coming out in Boston media outlets yesterday and today. And Allie Patberg, a IU women's basketball player, former Miss Basketball in the state of Indiana. She's from Columbus. She got some big news yesterday that will really help the women's basketball program at IU. She's been granted a 6-year of eligibility by the NCAA. So we'll talk about all those things coming up here in just a few moments in the Hoosier Headlines segment. Later in the program, segment two, we'll be joined by Jared Morris of the Assembly Call to talk IU basketball and more. And then following that, we'll close the show with recruiting talk, basketball talk, and more with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Okay, let's get into those Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. It's how we begin the show each day here on the Hoosier Report. Great news on the 4th of July for Yogi Ferrell of the Sacramento Kings and, of course, IU basketball graduate, IU graduate, State of Indiana High School standout at Park Tudor High School. He was kind of in limbo, but got a fully guaranteed contract from the Kings for the 2019-2020 season. Yesterday, he'll earn, get this, $3.15 million. He earned $3 million on the nose last season, so a shade of an increase there. He's averaged 5.9 points, 1.9 assists, and 1.5 rebounds last year for the Kings. He also averaged 15 minutes per game, and of course, he signed with the Kings last summer in the offseason after spending the previous season with the Dallas Mavericks, where there he averaged just a shade over 10 points a game, 3 rebounds a game, 2.5 assists a game as well. So a number of players now in the NBA with IU connections already guaranteed contracts for the 2019-2020 season. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, who joins us on Thursdays, who was with us yesterday on the 4th of July program, he put together a summary of all of the players currently in the NBA with IU connections. And so let's roll through them. Victor Oladipo, obviously leading the way. Indiana Pacers, his contract earnings for this season, $21 million. He's the top, he has been the top money winner, you could say, with an IU connection in the NBA. Cody Zeller, the Charlotte Hornets, his earnings for this season projected to be $14.47 million. So Cody doing pretty well in the NBA with the Hornets. Also, Eric Gordon of the Rockets expected to earn $14.05 million. This year, Thomas Bryant, we just reported on his contract with the Wizards, $7.93 million is the estimate for him this year. Yogi Ferrell, I just mentioned yesterday, getting a guaranteed contract from the Kings, $3.15 million is what he's expected to be paid. Then you drop down to Romeo Langford of the Boston Celtics, in their draft class, a lottery pick at the number 14 position. $2.88 million is the projection for his first of 3 years on his rookie contract for the Celtics. OG Anunoby, $2.28 million is what he's expected to earn this year for the Toronto Raptors. Noah Vonleh, who was just picked up by the Minnesota Timberwolves, $2 million estimate is his contract earnings for this season. And really, the only player that you might expect to be in the NBA right now who currently isn't is Troy Williams. He's still a free agent. There was a story recently that the Kings declined to extend an offer to Williams, who played in 21 games for them last season. So there are eight players. I think that's worth noting. Eight players, IU guys, in the NBA right now. That's an impressive number. I know Kentucky just has a extraordinarily high number of guys that get drafted every year that are playing in the NBA. It's really amazing. But I think eight's pretty good. I mean, I'm sure this is available. I'm sure I could look this up. But I would be curious in the Big Ten Conference how eight players with guaranteed contracts for the 2019-2020 NBA season, how that stacks up against other NBA conference teams. I have to believe that having eight contract players in the NBA for next season, and IU's had a number, you know, for a number of years now, but eight seems pretty solid, that's got to come up with Archie Miller and the coaches as a recruiting pitch. And you know they're going to use Romeo Langford. He's a hot name. He's a young player that means a lot, especially to kids in our state, and is still close to the program. You know, he retweets when IU offers a player and seems to get involved in the recruiting in a you know, simple way through social media. But I've got to believe that's a huge selling point and a huge recruiting point of the IU coaches when they make contact and when they sit down and get serious with the player that they're very interested in and have offered a scholarship to. So eight players for next year with IU connections in the NBA, and let's hope that Troy Williams can find a spot, whether it be with the Kings or with someone else as a free agent, or maybe get some G League time and have a two-way contract with the team. But let's hope it becomes nine with Troy Williams getting some opportunity as well. Romeo Langford up in Boston, still no contact, no full contact, a lot of shooting and things. The team is headed to Las Vegas for Summer League basketball that begins tomorrow. And another press conference opportunity where Romeo Langford was interviewed and asked some questions. And he talked a lot about, there was a story on NBC Sports Boston about how he just wanted to be there for his team and play through the thumb injury. And that was kind of the angle of the feature story there, him being a humble player, a communication type player that wants to get along and work with others. And that's been something that, you know, clearly the Celtics have had problems with in the past. Another story in Mass Live about Romeo talks about his rock star status at home and some of the high school background. It even includes some mentions about Jim Shannon and the New Albany coach. So interesting in how Romeo attended the funeral, went to the funeral home for a local player who's, or excuse me, a local kid who's had a family member that passed away from cancer. So a lot of feel-good stuff, as it should be out there right now about Romeo Langford, stuff that we here are used to hearing and know about, and know the type of character and kid that Romeo Langford was as he grew up in New Albany. But, you know, the Boston fan base and that population have no idea. They know they've got a draft pick. They're probably questioning some things. He had some shooting struggles last year. But I think it's great to put the stuff out that they're putting out about Romeo so people know what a well-rounded person they now have in their organization. There have been some pictures of him doing some youth stuff and doing some commitments in the community, which obviously all players have to do, specifically the rookies. They get them involved with a couple special things. I don't know that Boston knows yet, even the team, what type of player they have and how good he'll be at those type of things. But good to see some feel-good stuff, feature stuff about Romeo come out, all positive this year. I mentioned our final headline, Allie Patberg, Miss Basketball from Columbus North. She had 1 year of eligibility left, so she was heading into her senior year for the 2019-2020 season. She's been injured. She applied to the, or she's had a number of injuries, I guess you could say, in her college career. Of course, she was at Notre Dame previous to transferring to IU as well. She applied to the NCAA for an additional year of eligibility, and she received it. So now she will be able to play this season and the next season as well, which is big stuff for IU women's basketball and for Allie Patberg. She, I thought, just started to turn the corner with the type of college player you thought she would be coming out of Columbus North as Miss Basketball last year, and knowing that if she stays healthy, she's got two full years to continue. The IU basketball program on the women's side seems to be making some big, big strides each and every year. That's the headlines for this Friday edition of the program. We will head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. That segment is always presented by Coffee Crossing. And also a reminder, tonight we'll be at the Little League Park for semifinal games in the 12-year-old Major Baseball Division, starting a few minutes before 5:30 tonight. And we'll have updates from the other games as well. So we're excited to be there. Local coverage, as always, we try to cover as many things as we can. And we'll be back at the Little League Park Monday night for the big championship games in a lot of the different divisions as well. So make sure you join us for that also. We'll head to a break. Jared Morris, IU basketball conversation is next, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday program. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is with us. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. There are some closures on Highway 403 in Sellersburg, but don't forget Coffee Crossing still open and brewing coffee on a daily basis. Highway 311 in Sellersburg, on a daily basis. All right, Jared Morris of Assembly Call with us. And Jared, I want to continue on something I was talking about in the first segment as we start our interview with you. Eight players for the 2019-2020 NBA season now have guaranteed contracts. If Troy Williams could find a home somehow, that would be 9. But that is an impressive number. And I know Kentucky has a ton of guys every year that get drafted, and there are some other programs that have a number of players more than that in the NBA. But I'm curious, and I don't think you'll know this off the top of your head, but I'm curious how you think that stands up in the Big Ten Conference, having 8 players playing professional basketball in the NBA in one season. And it's got to be a big recruiting pitch and a big assistance when you meet with a prospect that has NBA aspirations when the coaching staff talks to him about coming to Indiana.
Yeah, you would think so. It's great to see that. It really felt like for a while there, you know, Indiana just didn't have many guys in the NBA. You had Eric Gordon, and, you know, DJ White was there for a couple years, and, you know, you had maybe a guy here or there. But now to have so many guys that are, you know, not just in the NBA, but on second and third contracts, you know, obviously what Eric Gordon has done, you know, but Victor Oladipo kind of turning into a star, Cody Zeller being a guy that, you know, got a nice additional contract, and Yogi Ferrell obviously now, you know, getting his additional year picked up from Sacramento. So it's nice to see not just guys get in there for a year or two, but have some staying power, you know, and get those second, third contracts. So that's really nice to see. I don't know where it stacks up in the Big Ten off the top of my head, but it has to be toward the top. You know, you would certainly think that Michigan State has put some guys in the league, but I don't know. I'd be hard-pressed to think off the top of my head of another Big Ten school that would have more than Indiana, but I'd have to go look at it. And, you know, I would think it's a huge part of the recruiting pitch. You know, maybe, you know, 10 years ago, certainly 15, 20 years ago, you know, recruiting pitches were maybe a little bit more based on, you know, what's going to happen to you while you're in school, and that's obviously still a big part of it. But, you know, so many of these guys, and rightfully so, are thinking about their futures, you know, even as they're being recruited and thinking about, you know, what has this school done to help me achieve my goals, which is really what every high school senior should be thinking about when they go to college is, you know, what can this school do to propel me where I want to go after college and hopefully give me a good experience while I'm there. And I think, you know, anytime that you can point to guys who have worn your jersey and say, look where they are now, you know, those guys are, you know, playing on TV, on national TV in the NBA, those guys are making millions of dollars, that's only going to help. You know, now obviously it kind of goes to the next level for a coach when they are guys that you recruited and you developed and that you have personal relationships with. You know, so obviously, you know, Romeo getting into the NBA and having a good career and other guys that come up through Archie's system, but still, you know, having guys like Victor and Cody and all of those that you can point to as examples of guys who went to Indiana and went on to fulfill their dreams, it's just going to help other players be able to visualize how that happens for them going to a place like IU.
You know, we talk about recruiting, the recruiting side of it as well, and I don't know, you know, I'm just not an NBA guy, and I think a lot of people in our area, yeah, the Pacers are not too far. You might get to a game or two a year, maybe. But a lot of people, I don't think, pay a lot of attention to it. I'm sure I'll get some tweets and people saying, oh, I watch the, you know, I live here and watch the NBA all the time. But I don't get that feeling. I think that people will really get into Romeo because everybody follows him with every move he seems to make and that sort of thing. But I don't think that people like me understand how big of a deal. I mean, obviously the money is a big deal, but I don't think I understand how big of a deal the NBA thing is to high school players, whether they legitimately are national prospects that are likely going to appear on draft boards in the coming years, or whether they're way down the list a little bit, they're good enough to play at the Big Ten, the IU level, but maybe they won't play professional basketball, at least at the NBA level. I think that I probably don't really understand how important that is to them to be able to say, you know, we help this guy get here, we develop this guy here, this guy comes home in the summer, although our staff didn't coach him, you know, look at the relationship we have and the facilities that we have. If it's good enough for an NBA player, it's, you know, obviously good enough for our current guys and you as well. I would think that of all the things that matter to kids these days, obviously winning a national championship is a big sell, and fan bases and popularity and things like that are big sells as well. But I've got to believe the NBA connection is right there at the top, especially when you're sitting at the table with guys whose names either are or will be on that draft board in a few years.
Yes, and it's important to remember also that it's not just the 5-star guys. Like, it's not just Romeo Langford who's thinking about, how can I get to the NBA? Now, those guys might be thinking about, where's the best place for me to be a one and done? And that's a little bit of a different discussion. But, you know, look at the success that guys like Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum and so many others have had where, you know, they were unranked coming out of high school. Ja Morant, another example, you know, unranked coming out of high school or, you know, not really considered as recruits. And now they're ending up as lottery picks and, you know, top NBA stars. So, you know, even guys that are lower down on the recruiting rankings are still thinking, okay, I need a place that is going to give me a path to the NBA through great player development. Obviously, the Victor Oladipo story is one that's been told a ton, you know, where he was, you know, ranked in the 140s or whatever it was and ends up being the number two, you know, draft pick. So I think it's important to remember that, and again, I think it's exactly what guys should be thinking about is, you know, what are my ultimate basketball goals and what's the best next step for, you know, to help me get there. And you obviously have to combine that with, you know, a team mentality and, you know, wanting to go in and play for a university and do all of those things. But at the end of the day, you know, those guys still have to be thinking about what's best for their future. And a lot more guys are thinking about the NBA as a realistic option, you know, than maybe we would from the outside looking in. And more power to them, because there's a lot of guys who have had that belief when nobody else did, and it ended up being what powered them to their dreams.
Talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. I spent some time yesterday with Alex talking about this, and it's come up a lot this week since really the end of last week when Ed Schilling's departure happened. But I wanted to get your take. What is your take on the departure of Coach Schilling? And everybody wants to talk about their direction. They think that Archie Miller could go with this open spot. I don't know that that's possible given the lateness of things here that we're in July and it's not April when there's movement in the college basketball world. But I'm curious your thoughts on Coach Schilling's departure and your thoughts on the direction Archie Miller could go with this open position.
I have mixed feelings about it. You know, on the one hand, the timing is a little bit odd, you know, given that it, you know, we're now into July and usually the assistant coaching carousel, you know, kind of winds round and round, you know, a few months earlier. But, you know, I believe his contract was up, and so I suppose it makes some sense if you're going to make a change. You know, you let that contract expire or don't renew it, and then you can move on. You know, I think, to me, it seems like something that was done because of, you know, maybe with recruiting at the forefront. I would think if this was, you know, something where it was clear from a player development standpoint that you weren't happy or that you just wanted to maybe add an offensive guru, you know, to help, you know, kind of increase your overall coaching staff's aptitude in that area, that maybe you would do it sooner. So it seems like something that was done with an eye toward recruiting, you know. And, again, it's a little bit concerning, I think, just that something like this would happen in the middle of the summer and not before, because it seems like maybe not a desperate move, but just one that, you know, that wasn't fully planned out, I guess, from, you know, if you were to do it earlier. But then, you know, on the other hand, if you feel like you need to make a move, I suppose I'm glad that, you know, Archie and the staff are willing to take that step. And so, you know, we're going to see with who they bring in, you know, I guess what they're really looking for. Are they looking for a young, hungry guy with recruiting connections? You know, someone else with a different background? So it's one of those things, like, we don't know right now if it's a good decision or not. We won't really know for a few years, you know, until we know who it is and what they bring to the staff. So we kind of have to take a wait and see with it. But I'm a little bit mixed on how I feel about it right now, because I don't think the timing was ideal. And yet, you know, I suppose the best time to, you know, to make a bold decision is when you realize it. And, you know, if that's what they did and if it ends up helping down the road, then, you know, I suppose the ends will justify the means. We'll just have to wait and see.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call with us on Fridays. Let's talk some recruiting. Coaches have been out. There'll be some additional opportunities for them to see players in July as well. Definitely a new structure to this thing with high school events being open and the NCAA Academy's forthcoming later in July in place of a lot of the shoe circuit and the AAU type events that coaches previously had been able to attend. But with that said, and yesterday Alex and I kind of broke down some of the top in-state guys as far as the 2020 class goes and maybe prioritize them as far as where Indiana stands with them. From another perspective, as far as just wanting a player, liking a player, I know you follow this stuff as closely as you can. Is there a prospect or two in 2020 and 2021 that you really would like to see Indiana land because of, A, continuing the in-state momentum that Archie Miller has had, keeping key recruits at home, or just, B, they're good players you think can help at the Big Ten level?
You know, I think there are kind of national names, five-star type names that you'd love to get, Caleb Love, Dawson Garcia, some of those guys that IU has been mentioned with. I don't really know how realistic any of those are. So it's, you know, kind of one of those things where hopefully one of those happens, but, you know, if not, okay, you know, fine. We move on to guys who are more reasonable. I think there are some really interesting recruits in the state. I think especially in the class of 2021, when you look at Christian Lander, the point guard, and then also Trey Kaufman and Caleb First. I think if you could get all three of those guys, it would be just one of the great home run classes, because all those guys figure to be top 75 or better, and they can all kind of complement each other. I think if you get two of them, it's still a home run, and I think at a minimum, you got to get at least one of those guys. You know, and Lander, by all accounts, seems to be the guy that Indiana's in the best position with, and he seems like a point guard that's, you know, really well-suited to play in Archie Miller's system, which might be, you know, one of the reasons why you know, that relationship has really taken off. So I think, you know, the class of 2021 really gets the state back to those elite level guys, you know, where you have a potential McDonald's All-American in Lander, you know, and maybe the other guys too, depending on how they develop, but certainly kind of bona fide, you know, four-star, five-star guys. The class of 2020, as we've talked about many times, is, you know, is interesting. It's not packed at the top with a Romeo or a Trace or a Keon or, you know, Christian Lander, you know, or any of those type guys. But you have the kinds of guys that I think you can build winning programs around. You know, guys like Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal, who figure, you know, to be around for 4 years, you know, and again, you know, be those foundational building blocks that then you can, you know, sprinkle some one-and-dones or some two-and-dones around, but the guys that really help you maintain your culture and make winning plays, even if they're not superstars, you know, and fit specific roles that you can then build around. So I would love to get both of those guys, you know, in state. We'll have to see. It seems like there's been some positive chatter regarding Galloway, but you never really know until commitments are in. I think all Indiana fans are getting a little antsy to get a commit in that 2020 class, so we'll see what happens. Galloway seems like the guy that is the most likely of all of them to commit soon, and I think he'd be a great get for Indiana. Obviously, question marks about his outside shot, but he's tough. He's a good ball handler. He gets to the basket. He's a smart defensive player, good communicator, you know, coach's son, all of that stuff. He's the type of guy, you know, like a Jordan Hall is, that may be easy to overlook, but probably once you get him in your uniform, you're going to love having him there, and you're going to love watching him make winning play after winning play, as he's done in high school.
Yeah.
So we'll see. You know, a lot of good options there. You know, now the key for Archie, obviously, is to close some of those guys, and he's been successful in state. And then obviously if he can start expanding that out and getting some more top talent from outside the state as well, you know, that'll really kind of bring the recruiting, you know, full circle, I think, to where everybody wants it to be.
That was my next question is, I mean, I know none of us know, we don't have a crystal ball, but when do you think the next IU commitment could come in, and who would it be? And it's always interesting because obviously we're kind of in the middle of things now with the recruiting stuff, and I'm sure players that are going to be seniors when school resumes are trying to play through this month in most cases and see if they pick up anything new. But really, once this month ends, once the NCAA approved stuff for coaches to be at ends, you normally don't see a player add a lot of offers after that unless it gets really late and there are some things that happen or open up for different teams. Kids go to the NBA, you know, coaches leave and have a depleted roster with a new coach, whatever could happen. But that was my next question. So interesting, I guess, now to see when July comes to a close, really this time next month, if some commitments from Indiana guys, whether they're committing to IU, whether they're committing elsewhere, and for that matter, commitments from other prospects that Indiana's been in on as well in the 2020 class, it'll be interesting to see what kind of movement we have, you know, here in about a month.
Yeah, and again, you know, I think all Indiana fans are getting antsy for a commitment. It's also important to remember that, you know, sometimes, you know, those things happen. The first commit happens, and then it's a domino effect, you know, because Indiana only has so many scholarship offers. And I think, you know, Archie has done a nice job of reinstilling the value of an offer, not just, you know, sending offers out there to everybody. Now, obviously, the next step in making the offer more valuable is making it, you know, the type of school that is experiencing the success that kids want to have, and missing three straight NCAA tournaments doesn't help with that. So, you know, you wonder how things might be a little bit different if the on-court success recently had been better. But, you know, we saw it with Archie's first, you know, first recruiting class. You know, when you kind of got that domino effect where, you know, Demezi and Jerome Hunter committed, and, you know, there are a limited amount of scholarships. So, you know, if a guy like Trey Galloway commits, you know, does that impact Anthony Leal? Does it impact Matt Cross, other guys in that class? I don't know, but it would certainly help to just get that first commitment down, kind of get the anchor for your class, and then see if that gets the dominoes falling as the scholarships become more scarce.
Absolutely. Jared Morris with Assembly Call is our guest. Jared is the host of the Assembly Call IU postgame show and Assembly Call Radio, which can be heard right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Any big happenings for 4th of July for the Morris family yesterday?
No real big happenings. I cooked some burgers, made some homemade French fries, which was a labor of love and a lot of fun. So we just kind of, we had a quiet one here. My daughter's three, so she's not yet, you know, not yet up for the fireworks. She doesn't really like loud noises. So we kind of stayed away from those and had our own little private 4th of July celebration.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about. Jared Morris with the Assembly Call, at Assembly Call on Twitter, assemblycall.com. Jared, thank you. We'll talk with you again soon.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Matt. Thanks.
All right. Jared Morris with us Fridays. That segment presented by Coffee Crossing with its new location in Sellersburg. Now that the weather has changed, it's hot outside. Don't forget you can get all of your favorite Coffee Crossing drinks blended or over ice as well. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, and another reminder that we'll be live at the Little League ballpark tonight in Jeffersonville, Jeff GRC Little League, for two semifinal games in the major division of Little League Baseball. That's 12-year-olds. You'll have a lot of local teams in action tonight. Of course, it all gearing up for the championship games set on Monday, which we'll cover as well. So make sure you're with us. We'll be live from Jeff GRC a little before 5:30 tonight with play-by-play of two games tonight, two semifinal games in that 12-year-old baseball division. We'll also have updates from some of the other games as well. So make sure you're with us tonight on the Big X Sports Radio. We'll head to a break. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star is next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, our guest. He's always with us on Fridays. We talk high school sports. We talk basketball, recruiting, and a lot more when Kyle is with us on the program. You know, we're going to get into some basketball stuff and even kind of recap the Charlie Hughes event. I know it took place almost a week ago, but so many good players and so many happenings, and I know it offered you the opportunity to catch up with a lot of different players from all across the state. But before we do that, I was sitting here thinking as we come back from commercial break to this segment, we are drawing closer and closer and closer to the start of high school football. A lot of schools go back in session later this month in the final days in July, some in early August, and then a couple weeks beyond that into August, mid-August, the Friday Night Lights season for 2019 will officially be here. It's amazing how time flies. High school football will be on the docket, Kyle, across the Hoosier State very, very soon.
Oh, no doubt. And, you know, as the day gets closer, trying to, you know, do some stuff every week, just some little hits to kind of get people thinking about it, or, you know, kind of stay updated myself so I'm not totally blindsided when August hits. But yeah, it's I think 7 weeks from today is all, and that's hard to imagine. But always look forward to that. It's you know, kind of kickstarts a new year, new sports year, and you know, there's a lot of great football around in Indiana, a lot of great players, and
you know, just yesterday, you know, a young man from Beech Grove committed to Ohio State, offensive lineman, and, you know, just a lot of good talent. So, you know, it's going to be a, I think it's going to be a lot of fun this year. I'm looking forward to kind of diving in further and, you know, finding out more myself as our, I think next week our, you know, our questionnaires and our, the stuff we get back from coaches will go out, and then, you know, it's always fun to kind of go through those as they come back into us and, you know, kind of get an idea of what our, you know, top teams are. And, you know, already have some idea, but it kind of brings you ever closer to the first night of football. And you know, a lot of work goes into it before then, and for players and, you know, media and coaches and whatever. So always fun. I always look forward to the start of the football season. It's kind of a fresh start to another school year.
Absolutely. Cal Nedrip of the Indianapolis Star with us. Let's go back to what dominated your time a week ago, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So many good games, so many of Indiana's top high school programs, so many top players there as well at the Charlie Hughes Shootout. And I know you had a chance to see a lot of players from Indianapolis, some of the key players and teams there, but also the way this event is structured, it allows you the chance to see players from across the state and teams that maybe you don't get to see on a normal basis during the actual high school basketball season. So I'd love to just kind of let you go and give us your thoughts on some of the key players and anything you learned from some of the IU targets and top players in the state. But I'd ask you first, maybe, I know you got a chance to see some Southern Indiana teams, Silver Creek, Jeffersonville, New Albany, even Heritage Hills, a little out to our west that has a number of nice players. Touch on what struck you in a positive way from some of the local schools down our way that maybe have a chance to make some noise or have prospects on the roster that could play at the D1 level?
Well, certainly Trey Coleman had a big weekend. I was able to see a little bit of his game against Lawrence North, and he came away, you know, the Jeffersonville standout with quite a few mid-major offers right after the event. So good to see him, you know, playing really well. You mentioned Heritage Hills, got a chance to see Blake Sisley play, and I know you had a chance too. He's, you know, 6'7", 6'8". I think he's got a lot of potential. He's trying to be more aggressive offensively, and he has a really good team there. I mean, they've got three guys coming back who are all, you know, two guys who average more points than he did. So they're going to be a really tough team in 3A. And just as a sidebar, I'm really struck by how many good 3A teams there are. I think that's something, you know, going into next year. I think this past year, too, is kind of the same way. But really, really a lot of really good talent at the 3A level. And I think we'll see that play out this coming year again. But, yeah, Silver Creek, I think I told you last week, even Cooper Jacoby really, I thought, stood out to me as a guy who's taken his game to another level. When I saw him at the top 100 and then, gosh, I saw him before that too. That must have been at the IU team camp, maybe. But thought he was really playing well. And then had a chance to talk to Trey Kaufman from Silver Creek a little bit and watched him play. And he had a couple really big games. Had one game where he struggled some, but offensively. But really liked the way his game's progressing. Excellent player, and also really good to talk to both those guys, Jacoby and Kaufman. Were good interviews, and I thought, you know, come across as really humble and hardworking types, and I think that shows in their play on the court. You know, again, we saw that this week. They had a super tough schedule, too, playing both Lawrence schools and Bloomington South, and then, one other, I think it was Hamilton Southeastern, so a really tough schedule for them this weekend, but thought they played really well. I thought, you know, looking at some other kids, I thought, you know, Lawrence North stuck out as a team that played really well from up here. You know, if they can get all those pieces playing together during the season like that, I mean, they're going to be a really tough out. Tony Perkins just picked up a Ball State offer last week. You know, it seems like he's been a little bit under the radar, but now starting to pop out a little bit. And I thought DJ Hughes from Lawrence North played exceptionally well pretty much every game that I saw. Most of two games and part of a third that Lawrence North played. And, you know, he's about 6'6", 6'7", showed he can shoot it, and he's kind of developed more of a perimeter game to go along with, you know, being a really good rebounder and around-the-basket type player. So he picked up a couple offers after the weekend. So I know that's just kind of a smattering of what I saw, but, you know, overall thought it was was really good. I was, you know, over there most of, I had to slip away Saturday to write a little bit and then watch my younger son play baseball, but then got back over there and was over there Sunday as well. So it was a full, you know, pretty full 3 days of watching a lot of basketball and trying to produce some content too. But overall it was great. I really did like it. I hope that they kind of implement back some sort of tournament format to this thing. I don't know, you know, what's possible. I just kind of, you know, in my own mind, I'm like, I kind of wish they'd go to like a, you know, you're guaranteed four games still, but maybe playing for a, you know, a 16 team tournament bracket type of thing. Just so you're on Sunday, maybe you're playing for a championship. Just that's the only thing I wish was sort of like Charlie had it before with his shootout. But I know you're a little bit restricted by NCAA rules on this, and you can only play two games in a day and those things. But I think you could still probably do it if you have the right teams, amount of teams, and you know, you still guarantee teams as they play the way through. If they win or lose, they still are guaranteed games. But that's the only thing. I really thought it was really good. I kind of bounced between Hamilton, Southeastern, and North Central and saw a lot of games at both those venues and really enjoyed my time there this past weekend.
Absolutely. I'm curious your thoughts on the college coaches turnout. From what I saw, and I wasn't at all the gyms as often as you were, but the turnout was very solid for the first year of this scholastic event, is the way it's termed by the NCAA, a high school team event essentially, where the teams are coached by high school coaches and college coaches are allowed to come on two select weekends. Indiana had one, which was the underclassmen camp. This was the shootout, the Charlie Hughes event we're talking about. But I thought generally it was good. I know Indiana's coaches seem to be very active. Most of the big schools, the high major D1s in Indiana, seem to really take advantage of the opportunity. A lot of the mid-majors were there as well. There were schools obviously there from outside of Indiana. I saw some big-name assistant coaches there from other high major schools not located in the state. So if you go through it and look at it, and you, of course we compare it, I compare it in my mind to some of the big AAU things that I've been to with all the coaches there. I mean, the head coaches, that just unbelievable. It wasn't quite that, but I still thought it was a very worthy evaluation opportunity for some of the top kids, the D1 level kids in Indiana. And there were always, and there always have been, even in years when it hasn't been an open event for coaches to attend, they're always, because there's not as many rules governing the NAIA, the D3, the D2 guys, always has been a boatload of those guys there. But overall, I thought the turnout of college coaches was good. I'm curious your opinion on it.
Yeah, I would agree. I thought checked in with Tom Beach there the first night and then the second day, and I think I talked to him the third day too, and there was, I think he counted up like 115 college coaches roughly, and maybe there was more than that after Sunday. I can't remember for sure, but and he's, you know, he mentioned all the you know, the in-state schools are represented. I did see Archie Miller a lot. I think he was there all 3 days. Matt Painter was there at least for a couple days. You know, the Ball State coach James Whitford was there. So it was, yeah, Greg Lansing from Indiana State was there, made it a priority. So I think, you know, the Midwest was definitely, I think this was a very worthwhile event. A lot of Midwest coaches were there. You probably didn't see quite the national, like you mentioned, kind of on the AAU circuit, where at, you know, at Grand Park for the UIBL, you would see basically anyone and everyone, you know, from Coach K to Roy Williams to Jim Boeheim. It was just everybody. It wasn't like that, and I don't think we expected that necessarily. But I know for, like, Christian Lander, for his game, North Carolina was there. Michigan State was there. You know, some, and then it's interesting to see who makes Indiana a priority, too, from elsewhere. A school like Nevada now with Steve Alford, they were there the entire, you know, the entirety. I think that was probably the school I saw the most at you know, other than probably the in-state schools, they were the school I probably saw the most at the most games. So you can tell, and then by the offers that came out this week, clearly you can tell Nevada is going to try to come in here and make Indiana a priority. And why wouldn't you with Steve Alford coaching there? So I thought, you know, it was about what I probably thought it was going to be as far as the coaches go. you know, of course, there's some games where, you know, they're just kind of biding their time until the next game starts. But I thought overall they made it a priority. I saw Micah Shoesbury from Purdue at a ton of games. Like you mentioned, Archie Miller was there pretty much throughout. Butler was there, you know, throughout the weekend. So I thought a good chance to, you know, for kids to get seen. And I did talk to a few coaches about, you know, what their thoughts were, just kind of off the record or just in conversation. And, you know, I think most of them liked it. I think most of them thought it was worthwhile. You know, the only thing, and I think it's something we knew anyway, but you know, the difference in AAU is you might be sitting there watching somebody, and another kid for a high Division I program might pop off the page, and all of a sudden you're recruiting that kid. That's probably not going to happen, at least for a high major at the Charlie Hughes. You're probably there to watch who you're going to watch, and then that's probably going to be it, because you'd probably know about those other kids on the team already, you know, if they were at that level. But I do think some kids that, like Trey Coleman, maybe played his way into some better offers. A guy like DJ Hughes from Lawrence North, I thought, played his way into offers. You know, and clearly after the term was over, he did. So, you know, those guys performed well, and lots of others too. But, you know, it was worthwhile, I think, for those kids and for those coaches to get to see them play with their high school team. And like we always talk about on your show, it's different. You know, it's AAU and high school is different, and both in a, not a bad way or a good way or whatever, just a different way. And I think it's instructive for these coaches to be able to see these kids play with their high school teams, to maybe get a different look at how they fit in a system, a school-based system, and not just an AAU team. So I always love this tournament anyway, or the shootout. And I think the added element of the college coaches being there was definitely worthwhile and beneficial.
No question. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Kyle is with us on Fridays, basketball, recruiting, and more. I'll bring this up as we part ways here today, but Little League Baseball is in full swing as far as the district tournaments go and the state tournaments in Indiana just around the corner, and we'll be at the ballpark tonight, in fact, Kyle, to broadcast a couple of the 12-year-old major semifinals and see who gets the opportunity to play for a district championship, which means the winner gets to go on and represent this part of Southern Indiana in the state tournament. You are a believer in Little League as well. You had a son recently go through, and you could often be found at the district tournament or the state tournament. I ran into you a couple times there once our local teams made their way to Indianapolis, and it's a special thing. I kind of go on a Little League rant every year because there's so much travel and AAU stuff, and I see a lot of benefits in that too, very involved in some of that on the basketball side. But I also love to see community-based stuff, kind of like you're talking about with the school teams and that perspective for athletes to be recruited in the summer like this. I love to see kids compete with their community across their chest, and I'm pulling for Little League that it can hang on. Everybody wants to get to the Little League World Series, but sometimes the best players in Brownsburg, which is your local league, or New Albany, which is my local league, sometimes they want that dream, but they're not willing to give up travel or not willing to subdue travel a little bit to focus on the Little League. And most leagues down here have been able, I think, to keep their better players. I'm not sure that's true for across the state, but I know you and I are both champions pulling for Little League baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know my older son, they're going to start their district tonight, you know, their first game of their district. And he's 12 years old, and this is it, you know. And we got to, you know, going through their rec season for the last time was kind of sad, you know, and it'll be sad when this is over. You know, I do the scorebook, the book for the team when I can be there, and I wasn't able to be there this past weekend because of the basketball. But, you know, it's so fun to be around those kids, and the majority of them have played together since they were, you know, 7 or 8, you know, and it's fun to see them kind of mature, and they've been able to keep most of that team together, and there are kids who defect and you know, teach their own, but it's a lot of fun to watch them progress, and they become really good friends, you know, and they just kind of hang out together, and you know, that's what it's all about to me. And you know, my 10-year-old's going through it now, and they actually won their district this past week, and apparently they're going to New Albany for state, so I might see you down there, you know, hopefully when they play later this month, because I know they're I don't know who they play or when they play or whatever, but I guess they're going to New Albany for state. So that'll be a cool experience for my younger son to have now that, that they have won their district and they get a chance to be a part of the process. Obviously, it ends with state at that level and you don't go beyond it, but fun for him to get to be a part of it now too.
Absolutely. Kyle Bedenrip, Indianapolis Star. Kyle, hope you had a great 4th of July. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk again very soon.
Okay, sounds good, Matt. Thanks.
All right, Kyle Bedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, at Kyle Bedenrip on Twitter, indystar.com/sports. All right, live at the ballpark tonight, a little before 5:30. Won't you join us if you can't make it out for some good local Little League baseball? The winners go to the championship games. Have a great weekend. I'll be back with you Monday. Thanks for listening to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.